Let us pray as we come around the word. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just want to pray now that as we gather around it, that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Many of you will know that we have moved from Barking and we've moved into Hornchurch, South Hornchurch. And as a result of that, we've now got a garden. And we are really excited about this garden. We've moved from having a little yard no bigger than this square meter here. And we've now moved to a house and have this garden, which we are really excited about. I love sitting out in the garden. I love watching the birds come in and go out. I love watching. Thank you so much. I love listening to the sounds. I love doing my devotions in the morning, and it's so beautiful at the minute in this weather that we have that we can just sit outside first thing in the morning and just enjoy the presence of God. But one thing I don't like about my garden is that I have to now weed. I have to weed. You see, it's no good having a garden and enjoying looking at the garden if you're not prepared to put the work in, or get someone in to do it, to get rid of the weeds. To get rid of the things that come in, that come and destroy the beauty of the garden. You see, not my next door neighbour, but their next door neighbour. I can see over their yard. It's full of weeds. It's overgrown. And you can't see the lawn. You can't see anything because these weeds have taken over. They've come in and they've killed the beautiful plants and the trees that I'm sure perhaps at one point were there. As I was weeding the other day, I was reminded as I was digging in and getting rid of these weeds, getting my fingernails dirty, I became aware that these weeds reminded me of the sin that's in our lives. You see, in order to keep the weeds away, you have to constantly weed. You can't, unfortunately, you can't just have a whole day of getting rid of the weeds and forget it the rest of the year. You consistently have to be dealing with these weeds. You consistently have to be going out there and getting your spade or getting your fork and getting in and getting rid of them. It's a constant battle. And similarly, with our own lives, we are fighting consistently against sin. Paul himself says in the Bible, why do I always do the things I don't want to do, and yet I don't do the things that I know I should do? Why is that? Why are we constantly feeling like we're fighting against the things that we know we shouldn't do, and yet the things we should do, we don't do? It's called sin within us, and it's a constant battle that we need to overcome. It's called self. In fact, if you look at the three letters of sin, what's in the middle? I. Self. That's what sin is. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get, who I am. It's all about me, my comforts, my. Main scripture that we've got this evening is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Should be up on the screens. It says this, let us throw off everything. Turn to your neighbor and say everything. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I've got some weeds, I'm sure some of you will know them as well, and they entangle themselves into the other plants. Is that what it's called? And it says, throw it off. And that sin that so easily... Is that bind?
Bind,
tweed. B-I-N-D.
Yeah.
Wow. Same. Bind. Get rid of that thing that binds us. that so easily entangles, that sin that comes in subtly. Get rid of it and let us run with perseverance. And so today, if we consider the garden as our life and the weeds that come in as the sin that comes to kill, steal, and destroy us, I want us to look at how we identify, how we confront, and how we can remove the weeds in our lives. You see, Jesus wants us to live a holy life. God himself is holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. And God desires for each and every one of you and me to be holy. He desires us to live a sinless life, to be holy, to be holy. And so how do we do that? How do we live that life away from sin and devoted to God? How do we live that holy life? Well, I've got 4 points. Surprise, surprise. Number one, we need to know what are the weeds in our life. We need to know. Now, I'm getting a big lesson here, because there was a time when I didn't really know what was a weed and what was a plant. I'm getting better, though still I'm sure I've got a lot to learn. And sometimes it's difficult, isn't it, for us to know what are the weeds and what are the plants. You see, some of the weeds look really nice. Some of them have got beautiful flowers that are attached to them. Some of them even smell nice, look nice, but yet they're harmful to other plants. And if we leave them, they'll take over and they'll destroy. You see, some weeds start off small and seem harmless, but left to their own devices, they grow. And they take over. In the same way, sometimes sin looks harmless. Looks good, perhaps. Tastes good, perhaps. But left, can kill, steal, and destroy our life. Can actually take over. One little small lie here, just to cover up something that you shouldn't have done, ends up mushrooming and becoming something that you never intended it to become. A small little white lie, if left unchecked, can become a dark one. A conversation of prayer about someone else can turn into a gossip fest if we're not careful. Scrolling on your phone for a few seconds can turn into minutes and hours of wasted time. And looking at things we shouldn't be looking at. You get the drift. You see, sin can often come into our lives and it may seem harmless. It may look attractive. That's what sin is. It's very attractive, but actually left unchecked, left undealt with, can take over our lives. And we need to be aware. We need to be, as a church, all of us, we need to be aware of self. We need to be aware of the things that are sinful and the things that are good for us. The things that are harmful and the things that are good for us. We need to be more self-aware. In the same way, I need to understand what are weeds and what are not, what I need to get rid of and what I need to leave. And in the same way, we need to be more self-aware of the things that are affecting and infecting our lives. Today's theme is called Go Weed Your Garden. Go and weed your garden. And sometimes we're not aware of the things that we need to weed. We're not aware of some of the things that we need to be dealing with. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and find if there is any offensive way within me, You know, sometimes we need to pray that prayer to God. God, would you search my life? God, would you shine your light? And would you show up anything that is within me that is harmful? Either to myself or to others. Maybe I'm just oblivious. Maybe I'm just not aware. But Lord, would you search me? Would you search my heart? Would you shine your light on the things that I need to deal with? Would you show me? You see, sin destroys, just as weeds do. Sin destroys. Ultimately, sin separates us from God. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were cut off from their relationship with God. We know that story. But we know that truth. And it was Jesus who came, who suffered, who died, and who shed his blood for us, paying the price for our sins. Sins that you and I rightfully should pay for. But he did it. Jesus Christ died on a cross. To pay the price for your sins, for my sins, because he loves us. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Our sins have been forgiven. That moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that moment we accept him into our lives, our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Praise God. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Yet still, despite our sins being forgiven, we still live in a fallen world where the weeds come. Despite our sins being forgiven, despite us being eternally guaranteed of salvation and an eternity in heaven. Still, we live in a fallen world. And still, you and I battle with sin. And still, you and I have to deal with that battle daily. Still, the weeds come. And still, the enemy comes. And he wants to kill you. And he wants to steal you. And he wants to destroy you. And that's the sin that so easily entangles. Just like the weeds in your garden need to be dealt with, need to be identified. So you and I need to allow God to identify that which is in our lives that is unholy, that which is in our lives that is not pleasing to God, that which is in our lives that is causing us to potentially die. Secondly, we need to deal with the weeds. Sorry, before I go on to that, let me just point out this fact. I know that our sins have been forgiven. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ into our life. For some of us, that's a short time. For some of you here, that's been a long, long time. Yes, our sins have been forgiven, but still, there's consequence to pay. If we don't deal with the sin in our lives, we can be forgiven eternally. But if we don't deal with the sin, if we don't allow God to deal with us, and we keep on living in that place, there will be a consequence that we will have to pay. Eternally, we're guaranteed a place in heaven. Because our sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. But there's still a consequence to pay here. I'm saved. I've been saved for 30-something years. On the 3rd of July, 1987, I gave my life to Jesus. And I've followed him ever since. But when I sin, there's a consequence. I speed in my car, there's a consequence to pay if I get caught. either be me giving a fuck, getting a fine, or if I knock someone over, there's a huge consequence to pay. Hello? You watch something you shouldn't be watching, there's a consequence. Men, if you're watching, I'm speaking to men, but I know it's not exclusively, so men, if you're watching stuff that you shouldn't be watching, there's a consequence to pay. Am I right? There's a consequence to pay. In your relationship, there will be a consequence to pay. In your life, there will be a consequence to pay. That's the way it is. If you gossip, there's a consequence to pay to that. Because you destroy other people. And in so doing, you destroy yourself. Because that's what sin does. If you tell a lie, here, there, you destroy yourself. If you steal, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm just stealing an elastic band from home. From work. Maybe an elastic band today. Maybe a pen tomorrow. Maybe something bigger then. So there's a consequence to pay. Are you with me? And that is why we need to deal with sin. We need to identify what are the weeds in my life. What are the things in my life? And we need to say, Holy Spirit, would you show me? Search me, O God. Search me, O God. And show me, is there any offensive way within me? Is there anything that I am doing? Is there any... And number two, we need to deal with the weeds. Did you know, I'm sure you do, that weeds compete for sunlight, water, and nutrients? They are competing with the plants. You have a nice big sunflower here, and you have a weed over here. Both of them are competing for the same sunlight, water, and nutrients. And in our lives, just as sin competes for our energy, our attention, and our affections, we need to deal with it. Sin will drag us down. Sin will pull us away from the things that we need to be the things we should be focused on. It's gaining for our attention. It's crying out. You only have to turn on the TV and you see the things that are vying for our attention. The things that are wanting our time and our energy. Let's be real. Let me be honest. I will get home this evening at 9:30. Let me tell you what potentially would happen, but it's not going to happen. I'll hold myself accountable, okay? You can ask me. I will get home, I'll be tired. And I will sit down in my chair. I've always got this in hand. And I'll sit down. And Joe will probably be there, we'll probably talk about the day, but then I'll just be scrolling. Yeah? Because I'm tired. I just want to let it just flow over me. Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Ooh. You see, sin entices us. And before I know where I am, I've gone down a rabbit hole here. Just by this thing in my hand. I'm looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at. I'm probably spending money I shouldn't be spending money on. I may be potentially talking to people I shouldn't be talking to. Hello? You see, that's what sin does. I'm using one example. I'm not saying this is sinful, by the way. Because I actually think it's a really good device. I actually think it's a blessing in some ways. But if we allow sin unchecked, it can do damage. You see, sin is wanting our energy. It's wanting our time. It's wanting to drain you. It's wanting you to get your attention on things that don't really matter. How much time do we waste thinking about things that really
in the scale of things, don't really matter. How much time do you waste? Just think to yourself. How much time do I waste thinking about things that I really shouldn't necessarily have to think about? That's really of no concern to me. That's none of my business. But yet, I allow these things to be entertained in my head. You see, that's what sin does. It wants to take you away from the things of God and focus your attention on things that really don't really matter. Huh? I mean, I know there have been things that we all of us have a bone and a groan about. I know there are lots of things that we don't like about things. Maybe we don't like about the certain way that I came in this evening and the chairs are all differently. You know, I could have a really big moan about that. But really? Come on. In the scale of things, does it really matter? There are people dying tonight that don't know Jesus. That's what really matters. There are people that are dying of hunger tonight. That's what really matters. You see, sin can come and change our attention and take us away from the things that really matter, the things that God wants us to focus on, and we end up wasting 2, 3, 4 hours doing stuff that really we shouldn't be doing. So we need to deal with the weeds. Again, Hebrews 12, verse 1, let me repeat it. It says, lay aside every weight, lay aside every sin which clings so closely. Sin. Excuse me, I can do this tomorrow. But sin that clings so tightly. Picture that. Picture that. I don't know which one's sin.
Let's say it's me.
Huh? Sin that so easily clings to us. And if we don't stop doing the very things that we know we shouldn't do, if we don't stop spending time on the things that we shouldn't be spending time on, and I'm not saying what those things should be, that's between you and God. And the Bible's very clear. But if we don't stop doing those things, pretty soon we will suffer. Pretty soon we will struggle. Pretty soon we'll get into places we don't want to be in. And eventually, like that beautiful rose bush in your garden, that all of a sudden becomes so engrossed with the weeds that begin to choke it. And it dies. Number 3, we need to dig up the weeds. James chapter 1 verse 21 says this. Get rid of all... I know some of you struggle with some of the words that I speak. And maybe some of you think that I... No. I know some of you think that I preach very harshly. But let's hear from James, shall we? James chapter 1 verse 21 says this. Get rid of all moral filth. Get rid of it. And all the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of all moral filth. He's talking to Christians. Get rid of all moral filth, he's saying. Deal with it. Get rid of it. Don't just deal with the surface stuff. Get into the roots. Now, confession time. We have had visitors over the past few weeks, particularly in this beautiful weather, and what I have been tempted to do is I've gone out in the garden, and where I've seen weeds, knowing that someone's coming to visit our home and probably most likely come out into the garden because it's beautiful weather and we like to sit outside, I've gone out and I've just taken the top off the weed, put it in the bin. I've even done this. I've even got the strimmer and strimmed the heads off them. Do you think that's going to last? Within hours, probably, they're back. You see, in order to deal with the weed, you need to deal with the... You need to deal with the root. No point just taking the top off.
You need to deal with the root. And in our lives, we need to stop the sin. We need to be ruthless. James says, get rid of all moral filth. We need to stop it. We need to be ruthless. We need to pull it out by the root. We need to confess and we need to repent of our sin. Change our way. Repentance is going in one direction, stopping and turning 180 degrees and going the opposite direction. That's what repenting is. It's so much more than just saying to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for thinking that bad thing. I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry for looking at that. I'm sorry for saying that. I'm sorry for thinking that. I'm sorry. It's so much more than saying, I am sorry. Repentance is turning away. If you have a problem with your phone, I'm sorry to keep on highlighting this, but I do think that it's such a huge issue in our society. If you have a problem with scrolling on your phone and going to places, then let me tell you this, get rid of it. Buy a small, little, cheap Nokia, whatever it is, or I know there are other brands available, but get something that's not a smartphone. I'm serious. I know you may think that's impossible, how could we, but we lived there once, didn't we? I remember it. There seem to be much happier days than without. If there's something that you are doing, saying, thinking, then stop it. And you may need to be ruthless. Maybe there's somewhere where you go, and when you go there, you end up doing something that you shouldn't do. Well then, don't go there. Maybe you have a friend that when you spend time with that friend, you go to places that you shouldn't go to. You end up talking about people that you shouldn't necessarily talk about. You end up gossiping about people and that and this and that that you shouldn't actually do. Well, let me tell you, don't do it. Cut that friendship. Actually, I think that's right. You see, we need to be ruthless. If there's a relationship that's pulling you away from your husband or your wife, then you need to stop that relationship. Instantly. If there's a television program that you enjoy watching, it's great, it's thrilling, but actually you feel bad afterwards, and it's full of swear words, and you come away and you feel dirty and rotten afterwards, then don't watch it. Precisely. We should stop it. Oh. But let's stop it. Because that's how God feels. He goes, oh, here we go again. They're doing it again. Confess and repent. Turn to your neighbor and say, confess and repent. Cultivate some accountability. I said to Dean earlier, I'm serious. I want you to check on me tomorrow, Tuesday, and see. to see whether I did it. You see, we need accountability. Every one of us. If you're struggling with something, tell someone else you're struggling with it. If there's something within your life that you're struggling with, whatever it may be, make yourself accountable. Someone that will help you spot the weeds in your life. You know, sometimes there are things that we do and say that we don't know we're doing and saying, called blind spots. I remember going to a conference in Chicago many years ago, and when we were missionaries in Swaziland, and a friend of mine came with me, and Bill Hybels was there, and he was talking about blind spots. You know what blind spots are? Okay, so I said to my, and he encouraged us afterwards to speak to the person that we're with and ask them, what are your blind spots? What are my blind spots? So I said to Nati, what are my blind spots? And he told me, I didn't really want to hear all that. Guys, we need to hear, what are our blind spots?
And we need to be prepared to hear what they are. You may not like them, but we need to ask one another.
What are my blind spots? Number four, we need to create. Once we have identified the weed, once we have got rid of the weed, once we've dug it out by its root, we need to create healthy environment. It's not enough just to remove the weed. We must cultivate the soil. We must feed it. We must water it. We must ensure that weeds are not coming back. We must watch out. We must keep on guard. We must make sure that we're looking out for the weeds. We must make sure that we're feeding it. Feeding the soil, not the weeds. We must make sure that the soil is good soil. Bless you. And in the same way, we need to ensure that our own spiritual lives are in good soil. That we're feeding ourselves with the right things. Well, if you've got a long drive, rather than listening to the radio and the rubbish that is spouted out, listen to some Christian podcasts. Listen to some ministry. Listen to some worship songs. Whatever it is. But feed yourself with good things. Feed yourself with godly things. Spend time with godly people. Spend time. You become like the people you hang around with. I feel like I'm doing a youth talk here. But you become like, it doesn't matter how old we are, we become like the people we hang around with. And we need to be very careful. And if you are surrounding yourself with negative people, don't be surprised when you are negative. If you're surrounding yourself with sarcastic people, don't be surprised when you are sarcastic. Surround yourself with positive people. Surround yourselves with people that are going to build you up. Amen. Surround yourselves that are going to love you, that are going to give you accountability. Surround yourselves with people that like you. Surround yourselves with people that like Jesus, that love Jesus. Surround yourselves with good, positive people. Make sure you're reading the Word. Make sure you're praying. Make sure we're worshiping. Make sure we're coming to church. Make sure you're around Christians. It's very easy when you get out of church. It's very easy not to be in that positive environment. So make sure you create a healthy environment. Ephesians 4 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful. Only that which is building up others. That's the kind of environment. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church I want to be part of. A church that builds one another. Don't you think that's the kind of church that people will be attracted to? A church that's not allowing unwholesome talk to come out of our mouth. The things that are encouraging and loving and building. Isn't that what will attract? Isn't that what will transform our community? It's Jesus in you and in me. I close with this. It's one of my favourite passages of Scripture, certainly of Jesus' Scriptures. John 8, verses 1 to 11, as we round ourselves off. It says this, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? She had sinned. She'd done horrendous sin. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stood up and wrote. I love this, the imagery of this. Jesus stood up, stood down, and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Now, we don't know what he was writing in the dust. I kind of like to think that he, as he was speaking to the Pharisees and the people that he was speaking to, that he was writing their names in the dust. Dean. I'm not saying you're a Pharisee. I'm not.
Whatever it is. Maureen. Whatever it was. And one by one, they left.
Because they couldn't cope with it any longer. They recognized what he was doing. I don't know whether that happened, and those that are much better Bible teachers will, I'm sure, correct me, but I guess we don't really know what he was writing. And then he goes on to say, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with this woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to this woman, where are your accusers? They're gone. They're gone. Where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. I love this. No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. You see, Jesus makes it very clear. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't condemn. If you're in sin right now, if maybe even this evening God has highlighted and shone his light on your life and you've identified some things that you need to deal with, let me assure you, Jesus does not condemn. He convicts. Sure, he convicts, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But, but, he makes it very clear to us that we are to sin no more. He doesn't convict, he doesn't condemn. He didn't condemn the woman, but he told her, it's important for you. Repent. Turn away from that life. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Friends, Jesus died on a cross, shed his blood, paid the price for our sins to forgive us and release us from the power sin has over us. He did it to restore our relationship with Daddy. He did it to restore our eternal relationship with Father God. It cost him greatly. Let's stop messing around with the weeds. Let's stop messing around with sin. It cost Jesus his life. Your sin, my sin, cost him. Your sin, my sin, cost him. So let us come to Jesus. Let us repent. And let us go and sin no more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I want to pray that if you have highlighted for any one of us here this evening, whether we're pastors or leaders or normal members of the congregation, it doesn't matter, we're all equal in your sight. And we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of your glory and all fallen short of your standard. And tonight, God, I pray that you will shine your light upon the things in our lives, the weeds that we've allowed in, that we need to dig up, that we need to deal with once and for all. We're sorry for our sin. We're sorry for that thing or those things that we allow over and over and over again to come into our life and to kill and to steal and destroy. And Lord, before my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord, I confess the things that I do and say and think. And I turn away from those things. I repent. God, I ask, as I rely on your grace and as I rely on your mercy daily, I ask you, God, to help me sin no more. To go and sin no more. I pray that for myself, and I pray that for every single one of us, God. Shine your light. Search me, oh God. And Lord, if there is any offensive way, can we deal with it together? Thank you for the power of Jesus that forgives all who truly repent. Thank you, Jesus, that you suffered, died, and shed your blood for us. Thank you that you are alive, that you are in heaven, interceding for us right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And we cry out to you and ask you, God, tonight to give us the strength to have the power to overcome sin, to go and sin no more, to go and weed our gardens. Help us, God.